glad Jesus is in the house? Amen. Yes. This house.
Yes.
I feel His Spirit here, but I'm glad He's in this tabernacle. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Good to see some folks we hadn't seen in a while. Good to see Sister Pat and Brother John. Been in prayers. I know she's had a hard time, but we're so glad that she's here today with us. And you, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. It's good to have the Lord in the house this morning, isn't it? Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for all the cards, the thoughts, the prayers, the love gifts that you've given Sister Penny and myself, and we thank you so very much for it. I don't even have the words to convey to you how much we love and appreciate each and every one of you, other than to say that you are family, and you'll always be my family, and I love you tremendously, and may God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis this morning, into the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Praise God. How many can lift your hands and say, this is a good day? Amen. If you can't, begin to think about what God has done for you. Rather than think about the bad things, think about the good things. As the song says, don't think about the times you were down and out. Think about how God has brought you out. Think about the good things that the Lord has done. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, I want to begin with verse number 5 this morning, if I might. Read down through verse 8. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can we bow our heads? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love and thank you this morning, God, for another opportunity, for the desire that you've given us to meet together here today. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one, God, that's coming to these doors this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit will just lead and guide and direct us every part, every word, everything that's done or said today, Lord, be for your honor and for your glory. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay as nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning. God, anoint our ears, our hearts of understanding, that we will not only be receptive, but we will be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will as well. Bless those in this house this morning. God bless those who are in need of prayer, those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those in the hospitals and the nursing homes this morning. God, our heart goes out to them. Pray, God, that you would comfort and bless them. We ask these blessings in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Today, for a message thought, if I had a topic, it would be the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord. As I began to read this particular week, again, going back to the original, to the beginning of the word of the Lord, and beginning to read, and it caught my attention again in the story of Noah and what was transpiring in the world. And it was almost like I had picked up a daily paper or turned on the news to begin to read of what's transpiring in the world today. And I don't have to tell you, I'm not going to stand up here behind the podium and declare unto you what a mess the world is. I am going to declare you that even though the world is in a mess, we still have Jesus Christ, amen, who can keep us from all of the situations that are transpiring in the world today. And I began to think of Noah, and I began to think of how that God looked down. And as I begin to think about a topic, it says here, the eyes of the Lord. And again, I want to reiterate this morning, it's not the ears of the Lord. And I began to think and just really meditate on the word of the Lord. And I thought how much the Lord hears from us and how much he hears from the world today. And how many knows that you can't believe everything that you hear? My dad told me, he said, believe nothing you hear and only half of what you see. And that pretty much kind of holds true even today. And if it were possible that God could only hear what the world was saying, could only hear what we want him to hear, then there would probably be a lot of one-sided situations or relationships in the world. But I want you to understand this morning that God does see you. God does see us. And He sees the condition, and He sees the inward thoughts. Here, I want to tell you this morning that the Bible points out here, and God saw. That's the very first thing, the very first three words that are in verse number 5. And God saw. What did He see? He saw the wickedness of man. He saw his imaginations. He goes on to say he saw his thoughts, and he also saw his heart. And what God saw was evil continually, so much that it grieved the Lord in his heart that he had ever even created man. Even so, disturbed was God that he repented himself for even creating the animals and the creeping things upon the earth. So dare I say unto you this morning that the world was in a dire situation during this particular time of the account of Noah. But can I also tell you, in all of the atmosphere of the wickedness and evil that was abounding in the world, and I'm not going to try to convey unto you this morning what all was taking place. We're adults here. We know the situations, and we know what man is capable of. We know the evil that abounds in the world. We know what Satan, the adversary, would have society to be doing. So I want you to understand that whatever it was that was going on in this world today, or during that time, it was so perverse, it was so rank, it was so polluted, it was so very evil that it repented God that he had even made man. And you got to understand that God made man in his own image, and he formed and he fashioned him, and he made him from the dust of the earth, and he breathed his own breath into man, and man became a living soul. And now God was at the point that it even grieved him that he had even made man and created man. So that tells me to let me know that the evil and the perverseness that was going on in the day that Noah was living in was very, very rotten in the eyes of God. And God saw everything that was transpiring. But as God looked down upon the earth, and as God began to see the evil that was continually being done, not only being done, but even thoughts and imaginations of more evil. Can I just pause for a minute and tell you, Satan is never satisfied. He's never satisfied. I've heard people say, oh, it was just a little sin. Let me tell you something. If that little sin is not corrected, it'll become into a bigger sin. It'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow. It'll consume you. Almost like we once related it to even the growth of kudzu. You know, if you ever plant kudzu or ever let it go without trimming it back, it's going to overtake everything in its sight. Sin is going to do it. Let me tell you something. I will also remind you that sin has consequences, not only for you, but for your family, for your friends, for your husbands, for your wives, for your children, for those that are around you. Sin is never satisfied with just having a little small part of your life. It wants to consume you. It wants to overtake you. Even here, the minds of men were on evil continuously, wondering what else they could do to satisfy the flesh. And that's where it all comes from. The sin is the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and it wants to overtake the desires of the spirit. And can I remind us this morning, if our flesh is stronger than our spirit, then we need to be in the altar praying that God would help us and strengthen our spirit and let that is within us grow, so that the flesh can be subjective unto the spirit rather than the other way around. So God looked and he saw that man was on evil continuously, and it grieved him. But as God began to see the perverseness in the world, he also saw that there was a man by the name of Noah. And I don't know, I'm not sure, I would imagine that Noah had a prayer life to God. I would imagine that he was submissive to God. But I don't think that Noah was just playing the part. Man, I don't think that he was just trying to impress God. I believe that something stood out in Noah's life, so much so that God was able to view the contrast, the difference between the world and this man, Noah. And I want to tell you this morning, if we think that we are overcome by peer pressure, if we think this morning that political correctness has grown so bad that we can barely even hold our head up and proclaim that we are a Christian or that we are a child of God, can I remind you that Noah was the absolute only one in this world of perverseness that was able to say that I am a child of God? Can you imagine the political pressure that he took? Can you imagine, amen, the sin that it was enticing everyone around him? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Noah was one that said no to the world. I refuse to bow down to Satan. I refuse, amen, to let sin come into my life. It doesn't matter if I'm the only one serving God. I make a statement today, is what Noah was saying. I refuse, amen, to be a part of the evilness that prevails in this world today. And can I tell you today that we need more Noahs. We need more people standing up and say, I will not be swayed by the world. I will not be pressured by those around me. It doesn't matter what the rest of the office does. It doesn't matter what the rest of the community does. It doesn't matter what comes out of Washington. It doesn't matter what comes out of Hollywood. I refuse, absolutely refuse to be a part of that. My God says, be a separate people. Come out of that, amen. It's time that the church rose up and begin to make a statement. Amen. It doesn't matter. We may be few in number, but we serve a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, my heart was gripped. My soul was convicted. I began to pray to God, God, it's not what you hear from me, but it's what you see in me. God, my words to you may try to camouflage or hide something in my life, but your eyes see through that. Your eyes are able to visualize not only my actions, but my imaginations. Not only my imaginations, but the very thoughts that are in my mind. God, can I say, according to the word, that not only do you look deep into my mind, not only are you aware of my every imagination, but it even goes deeper than that according to your word, because you said you look into the heart of man. The very pumping station, the very thing that gives us life and breath. And that's where the true beings of a man, that's where the true reality comes out. Amen. It's not always what we look like on the outside. It's not always what we convey to others. It's not only what we even think about ourselves. But God can look through all of that and look down and penetrate into the very heart of man. And that lets me to know that this is a straight and narrow way. Amen. We got to be submissive and obedient to God and to His Word. Amen. And it's time to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be born again. I'm proud to be blood bought. I'm proud to be a part of the church of the living saints of God. Amen. I refuse, amen, to be caught up in the wiles of the devil, which are many, by the way. But during all of this evilness, during all of this, the Bible describes it as every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. You probably don't want to hear this, but let me tell you anyway. There is an imagination in the world today that is running rampant. The things that sometimes we sincerely and really not without intent of evilness in our heart flip on a channel and can see some of the most ungodly things that we could ever imagine. And it has been brought on us so subtly. Just like Satan. Just like that evil Satan as he just came subtly to Eve and to Adam. And you know what the story was there. And he said, surely you won't die. And we've been, our minds have been processed
to see these things, and we can be a part of that. We can separate ourselves from that. But can I tell you, over a period of time, if we don't learn to turn off a channel, if we don't learn, amen, to turn off of what we're hearing in the world today, if we don't learn to turn off what some people are saying against us and against God, amen, can I tell you that sooner or later that perverseness will enter into the thoughts of man. And let me tell you something, you may hide it from the church, you may hide it from one another, but God sees everything that comes into our heart, everything that goes into our imagination. And as I begin to pray this week, Lord, get me away from this stuff, keep me away from that. God, don't let it penetrate and infiltrate my spirit, Lord. Can I tell you that during all of this evil imagination, you can almost hear Satan say, what can we do next? What can we do next? Amen. It's, you know, always planning. Several years ago, I was fortunate enough to go with some friends, Brother Lynn and Brother Danny Smith, and we went up to Eric King's to deer hunt. I was warned when we got there that Eric King had a very mischievous little boy. I didn't know there was any other kind. But this mischievous little boy was prone to, while grown-ups were having a conversation, just as short as come up and punch you. Or take a running start and kick it. Just all kind of things. He was just that way. So I was warned, watch out. Be on the lookout for Fowler. Fowler was his name. Just a little bit. So sure enough, when we went in and we sat down, and of course Fowler hadn't seen me before. He had seen these other fellows. So naturally Fowler began to do what Fowler does. He took a running start and hit Danny in the stomach, and then he was messing around with Lynn and all that stuff. And after a little while, he goes over and he whispers something in Danny's ear, and Danny just starts laughing. He's just cracking up. And finally Danny says, hey, Brad, you know what he said? I said, no. He said, what you want me to do to the preacher? Not calling Fowler a Satan, by no means. But as serious as I possibly can, Satan saying, what you want me to do to the preacher? What you want me to do with the board members? Uh-oh. How can I affect the choir? How can I cause confusion? What else can I do to make people become discontent, frustrated, aggravated, agitated, and all of those other things that go along with when we begin to listen to the voice of Satan? Every imagination was prevailing, and I can almost see Satan having a heyday with the people around Noah. And you know, let me tell you something. It's never satisfactory enough just for the people who are immersed in sin to be immersed in sin by themselves. They want to drag everyone they can down with them. Go ahead. Just one shot won't bother you. Go ahead and let's give you a little buzz. Misery loves company. And I can see this in the world, whatever it was in the world in that time. Let me tell you something. Evil has not just shown up in the 20th century. Evil has been around ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And it's gotten progressively worse. What concerns me, now I'm not speaking prophetically here, not a prophet, but what concerns me as I read the Word of God, and as I read what the prophets wrote, and as I read the book of Daniel, and as I read the book of Ezekiel, and as I begin to recall and read what John the Revelator wrote as the Spirit of God anointed him, I can see an evilness in the land today that is very, very similar to what was transpiring in the day of Noah. You said, Brother Eddie, I don't see how it could get that bad. Let me tell you something, it is well well on its way. Well on its way. But thank God that there's a Noah. I said, thank God that there's a Noah. Amen. In this case, we see that it was one individual and his family was saved because that he did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But can I tell you that something stood out about Noah? Can I tell you that what God saw, I believe, was not hidden from what the world saw? I believe they saw something in Noah that was different. Amen. For a long time, we've been told that we need to dress different. I hope you understand what dressing holy entails. For a long time, we've said, keep our conversation holy. Why? Because people are listening. Amen. If your conversation turns to an unholiness, amen, you may be opening up your heart's door, amen, for evil imaginations. But I believe those that saw and fellowshipped and communicated with Noah knew there was something different about Noah. God saw it. I would imagine the multitude saw it as well. But not enough to entice them to make a change in their life. Church, without answering this question, do you ever become a little bit frustrated with witnessing and testifying to the same people over and over and over and letting them know you need to get your life right. You need to come out of that environment. You need to get away from that atmosphere. This is a little offensive, so please don't be offended by it, but sometimes you need to change your company. You need to get away from those that are pulling you down. You need to get away from those, amen, that is out for nothing except for a good time and what they can get from you. And now, let me tell you, I would imagine Noah was trying to convert souls. Noah was trying to live a life pleasing to God and with his life witnessing and testifying to others. But the world was having so much fun. How dare you tell me what I can and can't do? How dare you try to enforce your religion on me? Let me tell you something. I don't want to force religion on nobody because religion won't get you nowhere. Amen. But I want to tell you that salvation will get you out of this mess. Amen. I don't preach religion. Religion is man-made. Amen. Denomination is man-made. Let me tell you something. The cross of Calvary was God-made. Amen. God made it. Amen. God sent his son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. That's what I want you to know. I want you to know you don't have to be a part of this. You may be in the world, but that doesn't mean you have to be a part of the world. The Bible says, come out, be you transformed, be a separate people. Amen. Be on fire for God. Let me tell you something. I want to be on fire for God. I want my mind to be on him. I want my heart to be pure. I want my mind to be pure because I don't know the day. I don't know the hour when Christ is going to say, I'm coming back to receive my church. Or God says, that's it. You've drawn your last breath. I'm going to welcome you into a glorious reward. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you've been bought by the blood, you don't fear death. Amen. When you know that Christ is alive and well in your life, amen, you're looking forward to leaving this world and receiving what God has in store for you. Praise God. And as God viewed the circumstances of the world, he saw that one man stood out in contrast. You want to stand out in contrast? Be a Christian. Live a Christian life. Amen. You'll be different. I will assure you you'll be different. Glory to God. You'll have a smile. You'll have something to smile about when nothing else in the world is going right. Glory to God. Thank God that I'm a Christian. One man would not, absolutely under no circumstances, conform to evil. Can I tell you that wherever the saying came, the majority is right, is absolutely wrong. For the most part, the Bible that I read, God worked, amen, not with a majority, but he worked with an absolute minority. But he always won. I said, God always wins. Just because the majority sees this doesn't mean it's true. Just because the majority conveys this, whatever it is, or lives this lifestyle doesn't mean it's true. We must stand true and be true to the Word of God and to His statutes and to His precepts. As God looked down, one man not only stood out in contrast, not only would not and refused to conform to evil, but he held fast to his values. What was the song many years ago? The secular song said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Let me tell you something. A lot of people are falling for anything in this world today. This is what I want to stand on. This is what I stand for. Not my thoughts. Not my opinion. Not what I say, but what the Word of God says. As God looked down, one man remained true to God. You know, a lot of people, and I've heard, they live their lives so that they can have something good written on their tombstone. He was a good father. He was a good husband. He was liked by everyone. Can I tell you, it don't matter what you put on my tombstone. Because I'm not going to be there long enough to read it. But if you want to put anything, and you can't just put this unless it's backed up by my life, wouldn't it be nice to just say, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. In the eyes of the Lord. He found grace not because of what man said about him. He found grace not because of what popularity said about him. He found grace not because of what God heard about him, but what God saw in him. If we believe God is all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere. He sees our heart, he sees our thoughts, he knows our imaginations. What does God see when he looks at us? Can he say that you have found grace in my eyes? You have found favor. I looked at the Hebrew definition. It says, When that's used, it's usually used associated with in the eyes of or a looked upon favorably. Wouldn't it be bad if God looked into our life and didn't see grace, didn't see mercy, and get a little salvational, didn't see the blood of Christ, the blood. The undeniable DNA. Yes. Amen. You can't mimic it. You can't falsify it. You can't counterfeit it. It's the true blood of Christ that flows through our life. That's what brings favor. That's what brings grace. That's what God is able to look into our lives and to see grace. But Noah, in the midst of all of the perversion, but Noah, in the midst of his whole community. But Noah, in the midst of everyone around him. But Noah, in the midst of all of his neighbors. In the midst of everything that was conspiring and transpiring around him. Stood out. And God saw that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And you know the story. God began to speak to Noah and gave him direction. And what I really love, that Noah didn't question God. He just began to do it. Many of us would say, that's too big of a task. That's not possible. What can one man do? What can one person do? One family do? We could never do that. But the Bible tells me in the very last verse of that same chapter, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Can God say that of us today? Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I'd have to repent. I'd have to ask forgiveness from God. Because I know in my life, I have not done all in periods of my life that God directed me to. I've had to repent of it. I've had to ask forgiveness of it. I had to become obedient to it. But there's many, many times I just gave excuses. Some was legitimate. I thought, I can't. God, you know that's impossible for me. I could never do that. But the Bible says this man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord did all that God commanded of him. Thus did Noah. Thank God. It is possible. It is possible not because of me. It is possible not because of my ability. It is possible not because of anything fleshly around me or a part of me. But it is possible because of that that is within me. As the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It is possible. It is possible, amen, to live a holy life in the midst of perverseness. Amen. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's possible. Amen. It is possible to stand against evil. I wish the church would be a little more vocal. We have been tolerant. Nothing wrong with being tolerant. But I believe the church has become too tolerant. Sometimes we were reading and studying. Sometimes the voice of silence can be just as wrong, amen, as not doing anything about it. Because when the world tries to tell you all of this and we just remain silent, then they take that we're not in opposition. Can I tell you, church, it's all right to say no. It's all right to say, I refuse. It's all right to say, that is against God. It is all right to say, I don't find that in the word of the Lord. It's all right to say, this is my judge. This is what I'm going to live by. This is what I'm going to apply to my life. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world does. The world didn't save me. The world doesn't love me. We may think sometimes that it does. But it's God that loves us. It is possible. It is possible. I didn't say it's easy. Amen. It's possible not to conform to worldly pressure. Can I tell you, the pressure is immense. Man, it's terrible. And not only in adults, but in our children. You know, peer pressure is not easily handled. Especially in the adolescent stage. Can I tell you, I had a difficult time when I was young. Because what mom and dad and the church and my granddaddy as pastor would teach against, I would see others doing and enjoying. And loving it. And being popular. And there come a time, you know, when you just kind of sit back and if you really, really admitted it, you'd kind of like to be a part of that. Just confessing here. Just confessing. Because let me tell you something. Satan doesn't make sin look nasty. He doesn't make it look detrimental. He doesn't make it look harmful. He makes it look enticing. And he allures us to it. Just as he would dangle something in front of your eyes and it looks good to the flesh. And can I tell you, Satan is very good at it too. Amen. But Noah said, no, I refuse. Not going to be a part of that. But no, everybody else is doing it. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to be a part. He drew a line and said, that's it. I'm not. Absolutely not. I refuse to. And isn't it more important to please God than it is to please man? Yes. Doesn't the Bible bear that out? More important to please God than it is to please man. It is possible. I love this. It is possible to be set free from sin. Can I get a testimony? Can I get a testimony? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many remembers their night, day of transformation, whenever it was? I used to say, I remember the song. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Well, it wasn't daytime when I got saved. It was night. Amen. But aren't you glad that God works day and night shifts? And on the weekends? Amen. He's better than Delta. He's ready when you are. Amen. It doesn't matter. You don't even have to be saved at this altar. You don't even have to be saved in a church house. But you do have to be saved. Amen. If you haven't done it, do it. Amen. If you haven't been serious about it, get serious about it. Amen. If you've been dangling in the sinful nature of the world, get out of it. Amen. Get true to God. Make your mind up. Amen. Put your foot on the rock. Amen. And stand fast in the liberty that God has given us. It is possible. Didn't say it was easy, but it is possible to be set free from sin. How was it possible? Well, ask Noah. Noah, what'd you do? I believe if Noah was here to testify, I didn't do anything spectacular. I just did what God wanted me to do. What a better testimony. I just want to be obedient to God. Amen. I don't care if anybody notices it or not. Amen. In fact, probably sometimes people don't notice it. Amen. Because Christians don't get out there and blow their horns a whole lot. Amen. They don't do it. Sometimes we'll blow a horn because people don't get out of our way, but we don't blow a horn and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." Amen. But would you agree with me? There's just something about a born-again person. Amen. The world may not see it, but God does. God sees it. Wouldn't you love the testimony? God looked in the heart, and He found grace. He found grace. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That has so concerned me this week. It's not just what people say. It's what's in here. It's in the very makeup of a person. It's in the very soul of a person. Because, again, the Word doesn't say it, what God heard. That He found grace. You know, we can commend people. We can give a good testimony. We can tell God what we've done and all the things that we've done. And even the Bible says, you know, that many of those are going to say, "Well, Lord, didn't I do this and I did that?" And He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Why is He going to say that? Because he couldn't find grace. He couldn't find grace. He couldn't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. He looked down and he saw a lot of lip service. And he didn't see true commitment. And he didn't see a true testimony. And the main thing, he didn't see the blood of Christ that had been applied to our life. Amen. Let me tell you something. The most important thing you can do is give your life to Jesus Christ. Let Him be both Lord and Savior of your life. Many of the world wants Him as their Savior, but very few actually want to go the next step and say, "Lord, be Lord of my life." What you're saying is, "Direct my paths. Help my thoughts. Help my imaginations. Be in my heart. Be in my life. Be in the way I treat other people. Be in the way I work for my employer. Be in the way that I conduct myself. Be in the way that I have my conversation with others and how I live my life." Because I want God to see the truth. And He will see the truth in our life. Amen. I found out I hadn't got to please man. Amen. We may try to sometimes, but that's probably an impossibility. But we do have to please God. We do have to please God. So as God looks into our life, can He see, as He sees all of the wickedness in the world today, can He see that in the eyes of the Lord, Noah found grace? Can we find that grace in the eyes of the Lord? God bless you this morning. We love you so very much. Our heart's desire is that every single one of you, amen, is born again, ready to meet the Lord. We don't know the day or the hour, as I said earlier, but we know it's coming. We all have a destiny. We all have that appointment to keep. And I want to be ready, don't you? Amen. I want the Lord to say, "Come enter in, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. Not because of anything that I did, but because of everything that He did on the cross of Calvary. Would you stand? With every head bowed and every eye closed, every saint of God praying, I ask you just one thing. Just look into your life this morning. Look into your heart. And as it is an open door, not to those around you, not even to me, but it is an open door to God this morning. What does He see? What does God see when He looks into your life? It's very important that He does see grace. It's very important that He does see one who's been born again. Is there one this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have a prayer request, if you have a need, just lift up your hand and this pastor will see it and be praying for you this week. God bless those hands. We see them and we will be praying. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around and let's pray. Have a special prayer for this request this morning.